be a blessing to your father's children. Amen. Amen. All right. So you remember last week we were already in. Let me just do a little bit of recap on it. You remember what we talked about at the end of this lesson. We should understand why parents and churches must take an active role in Christian education and educating their children. And number two was have a grasp of the risks that have arisen because of the infiltration of evil amongst the public school system at large. And then lastly, we'll see today how parents and churches can work together to reinforce Bible truths in young minds. So just by way of recap, and we looked at the responsibility. So the responsibility of Christian education was point number one we looked at. And then under that, on letter A, it was given to the parents. You are the number one teacher, you know. It's your responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. And then we see letter B, where the church comes in. It's given to the church. The two greatest institutions that God ordained are the family and the church. And you need to be mindful of that. So we got into point number two on the risk of public education under your study there. And we seen the academic risk, and that's where we ended. We didn't end there. We got under letter B, which was the moral risk. That's where we left off. So we'll be on letter C, the apathy risk. What are we saying? We're saying that, the study can say a little bit better than me, but let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into this. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your people, Lord. I do pray that you would help me with this content this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. And Lord, I know that any time that we read and preach and teach your word, Lord, there's an opportunity for someone to hear from you. So, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart would be acceptable, first of all, as the psalmist says, Lord, in your sight. But also, Lord, I pray that it be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, children who sit day after day at the seat of the scornful, remember that was one of our verses, was Psalms 1:1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay, let's start over. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor and sitteth at the seat of the scornful. But, you know, so it's important that we protect our children to where they're not always under, you know, even if you took someone to church, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, your children to church, and, you know, we see that the little children are being taught right now, and the young adults are being taught right now the Word of God. But see, if they're in the public school system, they got them a lot longer than we'll ever have them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's important that we keep them. Martin Luther said this. He says, I think this might be in your study. I got mine here. It's that quote by Martin Luther. Let's see here. Yeah. I advise no one to place a child where scriptures do not reign paramount, you know. And we're, you know, this country has sowed to the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind. Now, because of taking prayer and the Bible out of the schools, you know, there's a couple of sources through which apathy may steal a child's heart. First, there's an obvious, the influence of the scorner. Institutions that do not have God's word as a guide for behavior open the gates wide and shameful powerful practices of peer pressure. Young people, listen to this, young people desperately desire to belong and fit in. Isn't that true? Anybody that's ever raised children, they know that, right? And, you know, a lot of times it gets expensive when your children are in public school and they want the newest tennis shoes. And it can get real expensive. When the peers among whom they associate that they run with, if you will, I mean, I mentioned this last week with Chuck's message to the Ava and Livy's homeschool graduation. You know, he was preaching on, you know, it's important who you hang around with, that because who you hang around with is, yeah, that's right, that's who you'll become, right? Nearness is likeness, they say, right? And you know, and you can work your whole life in raising your kids, or you know, when they're younger, and you know, nurturing them, and then the devil wants to steal all that away from them in one swoop. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. In this, remember that the Bible says in Thessalonians that the mysteries of iniquity doth already work. In Ephesians, Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, hey, listen, if you don't think that's true, you're asleep. I mean, the war is on, right? It is. And the problem is today is that Christians are asleep. You know, they're just letting things happen. Things are not going to get better. And then we need to, you know, they have a plan. You know, you've heard me say humanist. Humanism is a philosophy that is rooted and grounded in evil. You know, the humanists have a manifesto. And in their humanist manifesto number 2, it's a document outlining the basic tenets of humanism. The document outlining the basic tenets of humanism boldly asserts man's independence of God. One statement reads, "We affirm that the moral values derive their source from human experience, needing no theological or ideological sanction. In other words, man can figure out how to live apart from God." Now, these statements are excerpts directly from the first manifesto, the Humanist Manifesto number 1. Let me read a few of them, points of it. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of continuous process. Humanism recognizes that man's religious culture and civilization, as clearly depicted by anthropology and history, are a product of gradual development. Humanism asserts that nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human values. Nothing human is alien to the religious. Religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality, listen to this, to be the end of man's life, and seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. Another point. In the place of the old attitudes involved in worship and prayer, the humanist finds his religious emotions expressed in a heightened sense of personal life and in a cooperative effort to promote social well-being, i.e. channeling, meditation, and positive thinking. The last one they have here in their manifesto, these are just excerpts from it. The humanists are firmly convinced that existing acquisitive and profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and that a radical change in methods, controls, and motives must be instituted. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate for the common good. Humanists demand a shared life in a shared world, i.e. socialism. They're doing a good job of it. Look at our country. They're doing a great job of it. They're on track. But listen, when we put our kids and we give our kids over to the public system, this is what they're getting. People, they're stealing the minds of our kids. Listen, in our study it says, as parents consider educational choices for their children, they must take into account the risk of humanism. A young heart who believes God made me and loves me will embrace the truth that God has a special plan for his life and will be eager to prepare to follow God's will. But a child convinced that he is a God and needs nothing from God will question his purpose in life and flounder spiritually. Evolutionary process, when it's crammed down their throat saying that you come from a monkey or whatever, you know, basically what they're telling the children, you come from, you're an animal, right? And then we wonder why some of these animals, because that's all they are, they go in there and kill some of their fellow animals. I'm just saying, you know, this is what happens, you know. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. Abraham Lincoln heightened the critical attention we must give to the philosophies taught in the classroom. And his quote should be in your outline there. He says, the philosophy of the schoolroom is in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. Have we not seen that? Have we not seen that? Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States. There's another quote that we have in here, but I don't think I'll have time to do that. So we'll look at number three here, the role of the church in Christian education. God's desires for young people is that they would cultivate a heart for him and develop the mind of Christ. The local church plays a tremendous role in the development as pastors and teachers team with parents to encourage young hearts for God, as well as provide a biblical teaching for the home. As we have already seen, secular education generally runs directly opposition of these values. But a Christian education that nurtures hearts for God can help lay a solid, Christ-centered academic foundation in a child's life. So what is the church's role in helping young people develop hearts and minds for God through Christian education? Letter A is to teach the principles of the Word of God. It's to teach the principles of the Word of God. God has given the local church the responsibility of teaching his word, and not to just dads and mom, but to young people as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 9, says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou examples of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to the exhortation, and to doctrine. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's important. It's important that we teach and preach the Word of God. Just keep doing it. I was watching Brother Chuck this morning, he's just preaching the word. He's just teaching the word. You just keep doing it. You keep going over it and over it and over it. You know, someone says, "Yeah, I already heard that. I already know that." No, you need to hear it again. Amen. Amen. I don't know how many times I've taught and went through that discipleship course we got, but every time it's new and afresh to me. Know how many times I've read the Bible? I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through in a year, and I'm on track this year to do it again. But I'm telling you, every time, just this morning, Chuck made reference to that in the reading of the Word of God, and it just blew my mind. That I was thinking about one Old Testament individual, and I'm not at liberty to pronounce his name today, but I just thought, man, I've never seen that guy. I've never. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what we got to do. We got to teach the Word of God. Just keep teaching the Word. Amen. And just this last week, someone asked me, "Well, what about that in the Bible?" And it was like, "What about?" I said, "Hey, there, man, don't ever have any shame in asking a question." You know what I mean? There is no one in this room that knows the whole Bible, backwards and forwards. There's no one in this room that understands the Bible. That should be your goal, you know. But the most important thing is you might not understand it, but you need to accept it and believe it as God's holy word. Amen. God's moral revelation to man. And that's all we got to do is just teach the kids. And don't get me wrong. You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think we need Jeff and Kim are visiting, right? Now, they live on the other side of Washington. You know what I'm talking about, right? Sorry, brother. We call it the other side, you know, because most of Eastern Washington's pretty conservative. I don't know. I don't. You guys know what I'm saying about that. But they live on the other side, okay? And it's a dark place, is it not? It's a dark place. But you know what? It's just like the public schools, you know. There's a lot of sold-out Christians that love the Lord that are in the public schools. Kids that go there and they go to their youth group every Wednesday night or Thursday night or whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes it's just not possible to homeschool the kids. You know, it's just not. But that place needs light. As sure as Olympia, Washington needs light, believers there. We should not shun away from preaching the Word of God publicly. Amen. 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 And preaching and letting people know. Now, they're not walking out on my preaching, as some of you probably think, right? Right? They've had enough, right? No, they had a prior commitment. They said, "Hey, we're not going to walk out on you." Amen. But it wouldn't be the first time. Wouldn't be the last time. Hey, I remember one time I was preaching, and this old boy is wearing me out. Jeff, I sense that you're kind of with us today. Hallelujah. Amen. I sense that. Amen. You know what? The Bible says that your spirit can bear witness with another spirit that you are the children of God. But one time I was preaching, I'm telling you what, Brother Tim, I'm telling you, this guy was wearing me out. You say, "Well, what was he doing?" He was sitting there shaking his head. Everything I said, I'm going, "Man, this guy's killing me," right? You know, the Bible talks about how Jesus had, and I'm not Jesus, don't even cast a shadow in that direction, but it says that Jesus had the virtue pulled out of him. Yeah. I know how that feels, you know, when the scornful's sitting there and it's like, they didn't come to get a blessing, you know. They just come to sit at the seat of the scornful, right? Yeah. But I remember this. I remember that man finally had enough of my preaching. He just stood up, and he walked right out the door. And I said to myself, I almost shouted, "Dak, I tell you, as old as I am now, I probably did it." I'd say, "Thank goodness," right? But I'm telling you, man, he hit that door, and I'm telling you, as soon as he hit that door and he walked out that door, it was like a light switch went off. Said, "Whoa!" Man, hallelujah, Spirit of God, amen. Go on, get. You know what I'm saying? You say, "But preacher, you have on your door visitors welcome." I might have to change that. You say, why? Because not everybody is welcome here. If you want to come here and you want to stir something up, you want to do the work of the enemy, you're not welcome here, amen. Amen, but we want to love And we want to embrace everybody, right? We want everybody to get Jesus. As my late preacher friend used to always say, come as you are and leave better. Amen. Amen. But don't come in and try to stir something up and try to do the devil's work. Amen. It's all we want to do. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with the lesson? Totally nothing at all. Amen. No, not really. But what I'm saying is, I'm just saying that we need to encourage people. Letter B in here. Wait, I don't know. Letter A was to teach the principles of the Word of God. Let me see. Yeah. And so this is letter B, is to teach Christ-centered academics, you know. And Tina and I weren't able to homeschool all our children, all right? All of them did get some of it. And I'm proud to say that my two oldest, and Ashley's here today, that each of them had a year of Bible college, and I praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And I praise the Lord for Jake and Abby able to go through homeschool all the way up into high school until they were able to go to high school and it wasn't possible for us to continue homeschooling them. But, you know, I just praise the Lord. And, you know, my wife took the load of that. Amen. And I'll tell you what, man, let me tell you, the price is worth paying for your wife to stay home with the kids. If it's possible. I'm not saying it's always possible. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, that's worth everything. It's really worth it. It's really worth it. And now my wife, our children have grown and gone, and now she's the breadwinner, right? Amen. So to teach Christ-centered academics, and then in our study here, the quote was by John Witherspoon. It says, cursed be all learning that is not subservient to the cross of Christ. And he was the first president of Princeton University. You know, that's another thing. Harvard, Princeton, all them, you know what them schools were, you know what they were founded for? To train preachers. They ain't doing that now, are they? Yeah. Letter C was to cultivate hearts for God. Amen. Just to teach them the Word of God. To teach them the Word of God. Amen. Nothing is more tender than a heart of a child. Young hearts are easily influenced and especially palatable. How important it is early that we direct these tender hearts towards the Lord. Secular education can provide a measure of knowledge, but Christian education can cultivate the soil of the hearts, encouraging spiritual appetites and setting lifelong direction and teaching him the Word of God. Amen. It was Theodore Roosevelt that says, to educate a man's mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. Amen. A menace to society. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, I'm really thankful for Christian parents. I really am. I'm thankful that they love the Lord and they want to teach their children the Word of God. I didn't have that benefit when I was growing up. And I'll tell you what, it's just something that I think sometimes we take for granted, you know. Sometimes it, you know, you take it for granted, but I'm telling you, it's, you know, I think it was a psalmist that says, lines have fallen me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. Amen. And don't ever let your kids, if you raised your kids in the door, Lord, don't ever let them come crying to you and saying, well, I had to go to church. No, you were lucky that you got to go to church. Amen. I had some fool getting in my stuff about that with my kids. They say, you drag your kids to church every Sunday? I said, no, I let them ride in the car. But it's important. Amen. It's important. And it's an investment. Amen. It's an investment. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We got to plant. We got to cultivate. We got to keep going for the Lord and with these kids. Amen. And you have a great responsibility if you're a parent. You have the greatest responsibility that the world would ever know in raising your child for the Lord and teaching him the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm thankful I did get saved. Someone says, yeah, you were still a kid. You were 30 years old, right? But really, I was. I didn't know. I was ignorant. I didn't know anything about the Bible. Well, I knew his Bible stories, but I didn't know the Lord. Amen. But the most important thing is that we see him get saved. Amen. And we see him get saved. Amen. I appreciate you all. This one, as I've been going on, my favorite lesson is the last one on the local church, because I enjoy teaching on the church. I believe it's God's institution that he's left for us. And I believe it's his means and his method to propagate the gospel. I'm not against other ministries that are out, all of them that are outside of the local church, but I'm a local church man. I believe everything, our missionaries and everything else, it should be ran through the church. Amen. And then God blesses that. God blesses that. Amen. And, with these lessons, it's always a challenge to have an invitation, but I do want to tell you this. I'm not the Holy Spirit, never claimed to be. And like I said about the Lord Jesus, don't even cast a shadow in that direction. So I don't know what God's doing. God might be dealing with you on something. God might have touched your heart today and says, I realized that I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Well, this would be a good day to get that straightened out. We'll take the Bible, and if you're not comfortable, if you're a lady, my wife would show you in the Bible how you can be saved. And you might be here and you might be like Ellen. Now Ellen physically couldn't be here this morning, but you might have something you need prayer about. You just need somebody to pray with you. Hey, we'll pray with you. But we want to give an opportunity to always give an invitation. Amen. So with that, I'm going to see if Allie would come to the piano. As she's coming, I'll conclude this part of the service in prayer. Father, I just pray for the invitation. I pray that you would just touch it. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And also, Lord, I pray for our country, and I pray for the children of this country. And I pray, Lord, for a revival, Lord. And I pray for parents that they take serious their responsibility in teaching their children the Word of God. So, Lord, I pray that there might be someone here that knows you and just struggling in some sort of area in their life. I pray that you would touch their hearts during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.